You're listening to the Incomparables Total Party Kill podcast, in which a group of friends play Dungeons & Dragons on the internet for your amusement. This is episode number 351, Dog & Pony Show Season 5, Episode 10, recorded May 2021, posted June 2022. A Woman of Murder.
Welcome back to Total Party Kill. I don't know where you are or when you are, but here in Barovia, it's Tuesday night. That's right, it's me, Tony Sindelar, he, him, his, a dungeon master, and we are playing the Dog and Pony Show Curse of Strahd adventure. Allow me to introduce the players in the order that I see them in my little Zoom window here. They will introduce their characters. I will attempt to piece together what we are up to, and then other things beyond my planning or capability to control will happen. First up, it's Aline Sims. Hi, Aline.
Hi, I play Imra Soliana, the Wood Elf Ranger, and her trusty pupper, Androdite, and we all use she, her pronouns.
Next up, the one, the only, the Dan Morin.
Hello, it is I, Dan Morin, playing Cast of Notar's Crucible. I use he, him pronouns. Crucible, who is a Warforged cleric of the god Onatar, uses they, them pronouns.
USA.
almost made it to the end.
Also joining us, our friend to the north, it's Erica Ensign.
Hello from the north. Yes, I am playing Brildish, the Dwarven Paladin. Our pronouns are she, her, but I also play Brildish's celestial pony, Pony Sindelart. His pronouns are he, him.
Next up, it's Micah Sargent.
Hello, I play Elevor Landman, the half-elf druid, whose pronouns are he, him. Mine are also that. And also, I play Samus, the saber-toothed tiger, whose pronouns are she, her.
And last, but certainly not least, it's Jane Ritt. Hi, Jane.
Hi, I play Lena Dulina, the human rogue, with her pronouns she, her.
All right, what have we been up to in Barovia? Well, our adventurers took a little bit of a sidetrack, a jaunt, if you will, over to Argenvostholt and encountered the ghosts and revenants of a long-lost order of knights who stood up to Strahd and are cursed to eternal, well, I don't know. I mean, they're not dead, so that's not great for them. They're also dealing with some serious mental health issues. I don't know. In a way, isn't their existence a metaphor for the one we're all living right now? Gosh, that got dark fast. So you now you have another reason to take down Strahd. If it wasn't enough that he is bad and evil and preys upon the living, he has also made some nice knights sad. And you would like to deal with that. Wow, I was more prepared in my head than I am in actuality. it's okay, Eric will fix this all in editing. You have journeyed from Argenvostholt to Richtavio's Tower, or should we say Rudolf von Richten, because that is his real name, except you insist on calling him Richtavio, and he's pretty chill with it. Journeyed there to kind of check in with him, to meet up with Vasilika, who was arrived here from the Abbey, St. Martikoff's Abbey, further to the west. And upon arrival here, you have been introduced to an associate of Richtavio, one Esmeralda Davenir. So all of you are crowded into the top floor of Richtavio's tower, which I must remind you is not a very large space. And you brought a dog and a saber-toothed tiger, and I guess you thankfully left your horse outside. There's definitely not enough chairs.
We also left your Aragal downstairs.
Yes, we don't serve his kind here.
Take one NPC out when you leave the house in the morning.
Yes, I appreciate that. So I believe that this is your plan to kind of meet up, confirm your planned attack on Ravenloft, because that is Ravenloft being Strahd's home is your next destination. You may not be welcome for brunch, but I guess you are welcome for destruction?
He invited us for brunch. Yeah. What do you mean? Is this foreshadowing?
Was it rescinded?
I think it was formally rescinded when you took his long lost love and walked her into a lake, or let her walk into a lake.
Rude.
That's right.
I yeah. tried to stop her.
I think
her.
If you look at the formal guide to etiquette, that is like, you know, mm-hmm. that's none of you have been to finishing school.
Destruction it is.
Mm. Well, before we
can't
before
say
we leave,
that.
Before we leave here, I think we were planning on having another little montage. This time, instead of silvering our weapons, it was going to be Crucible creating some armor for Vasilka that would fit under the wedding dress that we have yet to steal.
I've been waiting to see their skills, so...
Mm-hmm. All right. Yep. I am a master of the forge.
Mm-hmm. All right. So,
we brought
you know,
metal.
In turn... I think that, you know, Rictavio's tower, it has a lot of empty space in it, but it also has a lot of space that's probably not very structurally sound. So we're going to say that there is an improvised workshop is set up outside of the tower next to there's some scaffolding where somebody was working on the tower long ago. Rictavio himself, not really into the home improvement. But yeah, you know, the whole team pitches in and people are carrying lumber and setting up sawhorses and doing various things
this
to prepare blacksmithing.
This is extremely like overkill for what this actually requires from Crucible.
It's okay, it doesn't matter.
That's how we rolled it.
Because it's an hour long magic ritual, not really actually blacksmithing in any way.
All right. Rictavio keeps interrupting you. So
it
you have to start
require
the ritual
components.
Over. Yeah.
It does require metal components. That's true. But I don't have to like yeah. sort of pray over them a little bit.
Well, Dan, you know, you only
you
get
make
to
it look good.
Smelt things once or twice. Like, you know, gotta put some flourish on it. So yeah, we'll say that you do that. You know, Rictavio also decides that he is going to attempt to build an oven to bake bread outside of his tower. That seems like a thing he would do.
I love it.
So, yeah, I think Rictavio is the kind of guy you go over to his house and then he's like, now it's a dinner party. I'm just going to start trying to make a dinner for 8 people with what I have on hand. What could go wrong?
What is Tony?
We brought some wine.
Tony, important yeah. question. What is the name of Rictavio's sourdough starter?
No. It's got to be a pun. Is that how it works?
I don't know. I don't make the rules.
I don't know. Our sourdough. I don't know about bread, Dan. Our sourdough starters named like ska bands or frisbee teams. Which one is it?
ska bands.
Oh, I don't know enough about bread to make a bread ska related pun. Sorry,
Little
listeners.
Blue crusty things. There's a ska band called Little Blue Crunchy Things, so that's
oh, okay. Go.
It could also just be Little Blue Crunchy Thing. I mean, it's
no, that's not its name. That's nice. Just a description of what it is. It's Little yeah. Blue and Crunchy. I don't know if this sourdough starter went well or not.
I think Rictavio calls it his powerdough starter.
Is there you go. That's
yeah. what about. I just needed time to channel Rictavio, yeah. which is to say that Rictavio also doesn't know enough about bread, and I just had to bring that into my.
I feel like this the is shirt is helping.
This is my method, people.
and your madness.
My job is killing me. Hello. All right. So after an hour, Crucible has prepared for and conducted his ritual. Rictavio has bread cooling on a stone. Tony totally knows how long it takes to make bread. Yeah, we'll say that you've all retired back up to the fourth floor. Rictavio is passing around basically every drinking vessel that he has. So there's a lot of teacups that he is pouring a concoction he refers to as circus wine into. You know, it is beyond crowded. It's probably kind of warm up here. But yeah, you know, the whole gang's together.
Crack
all of you, Rictavio, Vasilika, and the newly met Esmeralda Davenir. As you enjoy,
Tony,
some
I'd like to
wine, some
roll
bread.
For perception on mm-hmm. the state of these cups because Elevore does not want mono, just to make sure mm-hmm. they're clean.
All right.
So, well, actually, I could do. What do you? What do you want from me? You want some medicine?
I mean, mono
you want some
would
perception?
Probably be medicine.
Yeah, let's do medicine check.
Are these sterile teacups?
I got an I don't, 8. You don't have to roll. No, they're clearly yeah. not sterile.
They're chipped, but Rictavio assures you, and with an 8, you believe him, the circus wine acts as a mild disinfectant. So
well, Elevore just does one of those.
Yeah. you know, I mean, you know, if Rictavio's got it, you've got it now. So this is the life of an adventurer.
Oh, God.
Are there things that you would like to discuss with Rictavio, with Vasilica, or even with Esmeralda Davenir, who you have recently come into acquaintance with? Because you just met Esmeralda at the end of last adventure, yeah. or last session, yes. right? Even though that
so
was
are we a getting while to ago believe in our time. That she is a itinerant, mysterious lady who travels from place to place in Barovia? Because
you concerned about, I was going to say, you concerned about competition? Is that?
Well, I'm just like, do they know about each other? Has Lena heard of her? Do they run in the same circles? Like, what's
all right. So just to remind the listeners and Tony, who's totally bad at stuff, Esmeralda Davenir is a, probably early 30s woman. She's got long, flowing black hair that's kind of tied back in a red headband. She has a really badass red coat with gold fringe. She probably has an axe and a sword. She has one kind of prosthetic steampunk leg. And she seems, you'll notice, you would immediately pick up Lena, that she speaks with a Barovian accent, suggesting that she is a local, not like these filthy foreigners that you've been.
So she speaks with no accent, is what yes. I, Lena, am hearing.
Yes. Yeah.
Can I and she has been a little. To, she's like, been a get little a vibe.
Sure. She's been a little quiet and reserved, as all of you have been bustling about. Setting up Crucible's ritual. I guess you probably had to. So Crucible, you have at this point now created metal armor for Vasilica.
Yes. Yep,
which is probably simple, big, oversized. Armor. Yeah, but form-fitting such that it can be worn under a wedding dress is the.
Yes, technically it may not be worth any more than 100 gold pieces. But yeah, so whatever armor, the best armor, 100 gold piece value can buy.
Lena, were you rolling some kind of insight on Esmeralda?
Yes, I rolled a 16 insight check just to get her vibe. You know. Are we simpatico? Are we a little?
I mean, to the extent that you could be simpatico with someone who seems, you just looking at her and seeing the way that she looks and talks, which tends to be kind of short and clipped. She's got
doesn't sound like anybody I've ever heard of.
Yeah, she's got kind of got that tragic past aura going to her.
Oh, no.
Brildish is very confused right now.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Barovia. You've either got a tragic past or a tragic now.
It's but like a toddler seems, realizing yeah. that his dad is a twin and being like, what? Well, that's a very good genre of YouTube video, by the way.
Wow. She does seem to have Vistani mannerisms.
Hmm.
So, yes. Let's see here. Do you want to chat with Esmeralda down here?
I have a question, Tony.
Yeah.
Remind me what's up with her legs?
She has a prosthetic steampunk leg for her right leg.
Crucible will definitely. Like admire the handiwork in such a way that is polite. Just thinking, like, oh, mm-hmm. you know, I am always intrigued in the way that people, fashion these sorts of things. It looks very elaborate and functional.
Yeah, I don't think you've seen anything of this kind of complicated, clockwork kind of style mechanism. Certainly in Barovia, it takes you back to your homeland.
Yes.
So.
So while we were helping Crucible set up for their ritual, I found some woodworking tools. So I'm kind of like sitting off in a corner whittling.
What?
I'm like making a pointy stick. Like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Elephor is definitely just hovering like, oh, so cool.
But
what's gonna come out of there?
So like I'm over there, you know, just kind of messing around with a spare stick I found. And I'm just going to ask Esmeralda, tell us about yourself.
Well, what is there to tell, really?
I am born, someday I will die. I hope to take as many monsters with me before that happens.
I hold up my chair. Cheers!
Lena just sits very, very uncomfortably.
That's a good plan. I like that plan.
So who counts as monsters? Sort of who falls into that? You know, you've got sort of a chart, sort of instructions. How you know, who qualifies as monsters? And Elevor kind of very awkwardly looks over at Vasilika, just like, okay, maybe I should start to protect old Vasilika over here.
Esmeralda Davenir follows your kind of eye line to Vasilika and says, oh, no, she is no threat to me.
Oh, so threats to you are monsters.
Well.
And then Elevor looks at Lena.
The children of the night, the people of the wolf, the vampire, these are my prey.
Children?
You are safe here.
Excellent.
I thought I was safe. It's good to know I was right.
I have gathered from Rictavio that you have had some dalliances with these creatures yourselves. Well, perhaps it's just perhaps some of the blights, his Strahd's little woodland friends. You have kept them busy.
Oh, the werewolves.
Oh, yeah, we mostly ignored those guys because they just seemed really not cool.
They were too emo for us.
They are very, very not cool.
Yes, we have dealt with the blights, but also the foul druids summoning them and setting them forth upon the land. And Baba Yaga. No. The legally distinct one, Baba Lazaga. We dispatched her in her very walking home.
Esmeralda Davenir seems genuinely impressed by this.
You face like Baba nods Lazaga. Very, Crucible, very like.
Crucible spends the next hour fashioning a microphone for Lena to drop.
Esmeralda Davenir slaps Rictavio on the arm and said, "You did not tell me this. They have fight Baba Lazaga and walked away and claimed to have defeated her? They are not the fools that you would describe." Rictavio says, "I did not say fools. You said fools."
And I think I rode away because Pony. You haven't met Pony yet, though. Pony's downstairs.
We also freed some goats.
Did we remember?
You people are strange, but perhaps there is more use to you than I thought. But tell me. Have you faced any children of the night themselves? Have you fought a vampire and lived?
Oh yeah, that was one of the first things we did after we got here.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a little one though.
Small.
We also fought a Wunderhorse.
You fought?
Well,
Bucephalus?
Well,
Strahd Steve?
We met Bucephalus.
Oh
yeah.
You saw
scared Bucephalus awake. Mm-hmm.
The Wunderhorse.
We liberated his once love to a place where never he can reach her.
Yeah, he got pretty mad about that. He received
a very
brunch
mad
invitation.
At us. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes, he
but
seems.
But he will be madder when we breach the halls of his castle and drive a stake through his heart.
Yes, yes. He is very, very fixated on you. This pleases Esmeralda, for I prefer to keep a lower profile. You see, I myself have been to Ravenloft multiple times. I have stalked the halls and slain Strahd's children, and I intend to return. You seem, to be a good distraction.
So have let me been, clarify.
Have you been
I
to
was
brunch?
Thinking the same thing about you.
The devil Strahd is not omniscient.
He has many eyes and ears, but I am quiet. I am but one. I move like the shadow as I stalk the shadow and slay the creature of the shadows. So much shadows here in Barovia.
It's just like dimly lit. You know, in my own home, when someone would walk, I mean, I had a nice sized home, but regardless of where I was in my home, if someone walked into my home and started killing people in my home, I knew they were in my home. So is it just like he's busy doing other things, or were you
Castle
stealthily?
Ravenloft is an immense structure of many halls and passageways and twisting turns, many a staircase, places that end in dead ends,
like fantasy
towers that
IKEA.
Don't connect. It is a maddening maze. I have been there thrice myself, barely escaping with my life each time.
Sounds exactly like IKEA.
Yeah, yeah.
I look at Elevor and I say, how often did people enter your home and murder your friends and family?
Did they flip your bed?
Yeah.
Is that like, where this all started?
Is this your origin story?
Elevor gets just this cold, distant look and just says, I'd rather not talk about it.
Fair enough.
And he kind of is just, he's out of it now. He's not, his mind is somewhere else. More so than it normally is.
Wow. I mean, it's somewhere else, but a different somewhere else from the usual somewhere else.
Yeah. Usual place is sort of happy, but this place is a little dark. In fact, it gets a little cold in this space.
Ooh.
Esmeralda Davenir snaps her fingers at Rictavio and says, papers, papers. And Rictavio gives her some pieces of parchment and she starts sketching a kind of a drawing of Castle Ravenloft that you recognize. You know, you've seen it in the distance. It looms out of the mist over Barovia. That is Little Barovia. I haven't gotten to say that one in a little while. But Esmeralda says, "What can I tell you of this structure? What do you need to know? I have scouted many of its passageways."
Ah, we have several questions that perhaps they are places that you could help us locate. For example, we are searching for a place in Castle Ravenloft that might contain or once have contained fine wine.
Yes. Yes, I think I would know where this is. She starts kind of annotating the drawing with kind of cross sections, levels showing you how the fortress, the castle is structured. And, you know, it's your traditional kind of castle style structure with an outer curtain wall with lots of turrets and towers and then kind of a fortress within it. You've seen Ravenloft from the distance again, and it does seem to be a very imposing castle up on a cliffside surrounded by drop-offs in three directions. She is kind of indicating that there's a ground level and then multiple subterranean levels built into the cliffside. Mm-hmm. And Esmeralda goes on to say, here, the first level of the basement. This is an area of the castle that is occupied by some of Strahd's servants and followers. I call it the larder of ill omen. But I believe this is where you will find his wine cellar.
That's a good thing to call a larder.
Below this, I have not traveled as much. These are the crypts.
Mm. We also would be interested in finding a place of supplication, a chapel, perhaps, or some other...
Ah, yes. This is not too hard to find. You will see the stained glass on the outside, but on the very first floor, there is an entry hall, and there is a ruined chapel at the back of this structure from when Castle Ravenloft was a happier place. Mm.
And then I believe we are searching for the resting place of a brother of light. Any idea what that might signify?
Well, as I said, the bottom, the deepest layer is the crypts. I would think that any formal resting place would be there. I have chosen not to make many trips there myself.
I suppose you don't know where Strahd makes his rest every night.
I do not know this. I have not encountered him within the walls myself, and he has never encountered me. His chambers, so as I say, the first floor, there is an entry hall. There are many hallways and passageways, openings to different stairways that lead up to different parts of the castle. There are two towers that access most levels of the castle. You'll see them. One with a, how you say, triangular spire, the other a flat level top. And in some places you can cross between them. But the first floor, relatively empty. His chambers are on the second and the third floor. The second floor is the court of the count. Perhaps in better times he would have received visitors here. The second floor, I believe, is perhaps the quarters of him and his closest members of his family. It's not a word I like to use. Some of it is still in wreckage from, well, a wedding that went poorly.
Hmm. I see.
Is there any place in the halls that you've been so far where there was like a really big, nasty, cool looking dragon skull, like maybe hanging on the wall in a plaque of some sort, or even just, you know, dusty in a corner?
I think I have seen something like this, and I cannot be sure, but on the second or third floor, there was some, I recall seeing a trophy room with something, some manner of skeletal beast mounted to a wall.
What's around that? Is it on the way anywhere? Is it totally off on its own? I'm just like, this is important to me personally, but I feel like it's less important than the important work that we're here to do.
I think it was adjacent to a banquet hall, if I remember correctly. I did not dwell there long.
Okay.
In the banquet hall or in the trophy room?
Either. I was simply passing
when
through.
When you visit Castle Ravenloft, how do you make your entrance there? Are there multiple ways in?
Surprisingly, the entrance to Castle Ravenloft is not hard. Getting through the walls is quite easy. The gates are usually left unlocked, if not open. It is almost as if he invites visitors. I perhaps move with a level of stealth that you and your horsey are not capable of. But there is only one kind of open entrance into the castle proper through the entrance hall. From there, one may head in many directions. Hmm.
And the doors are kept unlocked. Strahd has no fear of people entering.
Strahd is a man without fear.
Very well.
What is Argal's class? Helpful. I'm sorry, this is unrelated to the current conversation.
He's an assassin. He's a rogue.
Okay, excellent.
Assassino.
So what I said is correct.
Yep. Well, this has been most illuminating. Thank you very much, Madam Devenir. If there is any other information you think we might need to know before we venture into Ravenloft, we would be most appreciative of any of your vast and deep expertise, clearly.
What do you know of the vampire?
They hate garlic. Can
sadly,
she buries her head. She buries her head in her hands.
No, remember, the abbot told us that was wrong.
That's true.
Which is why I've eaten most of the garlic that I was carrying between
Very
then and now.
Very good for your heart.
If you have any chance against even one of Strahd's followers, one of his children of the night, you must be prepared to defeat these monsters. And you, though you have had many successes to your name in your very short stay here in Barovia, you do not ooze preparation.
Would you care to share with us some of your knowledge about dealing with vampires?
Yeah, how would you prepare? We silvered our weapons, but I guess that's only good for werewolves?
I tell you now of the vampire and their strengths and their weaknesses.
Now sit right back and you'll hear a tale.
I am trusting you will pay close attention. I need not tell the stories more than once. I am not a woman of much patience. I am a woman of murder. And I prefer not to murder any of you, not here in Rictavia's.
I think you are getting off topic.
Rictavia nods enthusiastically. I apologize. I do not have many friends. Rictavia kind of gently pats her on the shoulder, avoiding having a conversation between Rictavia and Esmeralda Davenir that I have to voice both sides. Esmeralda Davenir dramatically kind of pulls off her glove to better count on her hands with. First, the facts, the truth of Strahd's children of the vampire. They cast no shadow and no reflection unless they wish to. They abhor sunlight. They have no need of air. They do not breathe.
Mm.
They must sleep in a grave or a coffin during the day. That is one of their greatest weaknesses. They must return to such a place. It limits their movements. It is perhaps this that limits them from sweeping over all of Barovia. Some of these creatures, Strahd being the main example, can control those creatures of the woodlands that are kindred to them. Bats, rats, and wolves. Perhaps you have encountered this.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, I'm from here, so yeah.
Yeah, this is not for you.
Well, thanks.
Some believe that they cannot cross running waters. This is foolishness, but running water will harm them if come into direct contact. So they will not swim across running water, but
like pouring a cup of water on them does nothing. Pouring a cup of water on them is not really a thing.
So he can turn into a bat and fly over the water.
Yes. And they are known to use the boats and the bridge as well.
Curses.
They are the placing pouring water on them, running water and daylight will pause their regeneration. I have seen some of these creatures regrow an entire arm.
Wow.
Given enough time and sustenance.
May I posit a situation, a scenario, if you will, such that educational hypothesis here. Does that sound okay? Could I sort of suggest something and hear your response?
I feel confident there is nothing I could do to stop you.
I like you. I like you. So what if we sort of gathered up and, you know, the way that this happens is, you know, still in the works. But say we get, you mentioned boats. You said they'll go on boats. So we sort of get them on a big boat all together in the middle of a river or the ocean. We know about the ocean, right? The big bodies of water.
I do not know this. I do not know this ocean of which you
speak. They talk about it all the time. Apparently it's beyond the mist. It doesn't sound so great to me.
I know.
I mean, we have lakes. We have lakes.
So we get them in a...
We have lakes.
We have lake. Yeah.
So we get them in a big old moving body of water.
Sometimes when the masses rise out of them, it's kind of multiple.
You people from beyond Barovia come from a place, a magic place, with more than one lake, and a big lake you call an ocean. Must be nice.
If we sink the vampires in running water, will it kill them, is my question.
I think if you are to take the vampire from this land and go to this place with your ocean and your boats, I do not care what you do with them.
So it won't work. So running water, you said, is harmful to them, but it doesn't kill them?
It can pause their regeneration.
Ah.
And they will not like to be submerged.
So we submerge them and then we choke them out.
If you have the power to baptize Strahd in one of the rivers, I would like to watch. But I think you would not make it out of the castle.
Elevor's hand turns into a tentacle. It's just sort of a wild shape. Not a full-on wild shape.
It didn't hurt.
I have misjudged.
And then he just shrugs.
We all have that moment with him.
Rick Chavio likes it. See?
All right, that was my other question.
I lose my place. I think she's counting on her other hand at this point. Yes, as Lena Delina, a true child of Barovia, tell you, they turn to bats, and mist and other creatures. I have seen them climb upon the walls and ceilings like a spider. This is an important one. Some people, they believe, a stake to the heart will kill a vampire. This is not true, but it will paralyze them, which makes it much easier to kill them.
What is the best way to dispatch a vampire?
My most success has been with stake to heart, followed by decapitation.
The classics.
Followed by taking the head into the sun.
Play the hits.
I am known for my thoroughness. If anything left after exposure to sunlight, I throw into river. And this perhaps, hopefully, you need not know too much of, but their Strahd has a variety of undead followers. Perhaps you say you have killed one of his children, but there are, we call them vampire spawn. They are not true vampire, but a thrall to Strahd with vampire tendencies. The true vampires are those that have fed of his blood, of Strahd's blood, and are capable of free will.
Do you know how many of those there are?
I believe he keeps a select few. He has he has several girlfriends and perhaps some other close friends and family. Very few. From my readings of other stories, too many true vampires, and they fight amongst themselves for power.
So less or more than a baker's dozen?
I would say less than a baker's
Excellent.
Dozen.
Excellent, thank you.
Is there any truth to the idea that specific types of weapons or spells may do more damage to a vampire, particularly those that
are
derived... Or less, particularly those that are derived from divine energies, or such as, I believe Lena Delina carries a weapon in particular that has such properties.
I may have such a weapon.
I want Lena to bust it out in the middle of the room and just hold it up.
It's a very cramped room, and also I think she's probably just like cozying up to it a little bit, like defensively.
Yeah, you got to be careful. Like you don't open a lightsaber like in a party.
She's probably like talking really quietly back and forth with the sword. Like she's.
Oh yeah, I forgot to talk.
I bet her axe doesn't talk.
Well, I can tell you that I know that Strahd von Zarovich. He is resistant to necrotic and attacks from non-magic.
I have his stat block right here.
I am looking at it in page 220 of the adventure book. Strahd von Zarovich resists necrotic damage as well as bludgeoning, piercing, and slashing from non-magical attacks.
Of course.
Everybody looks at Brildish.
Brildish just sits there with a big smile on her face, like, okay, yeah. Doesn't even register.
If Strahd has, as Esmeralda has mentioned, vampires regenerate. So Strahd has an innate regeneration unless he has taken damage, radiant damage, or damage from holy water, then it doesn't function for a turn. Vasilika's just sitting quietly in the corner because she doesn't talk.
Yeah.
I don't really, I can't think of anything else to ask.
I want to make an insight check to see how, because obviously Vasilika's not going to talk, but I want to see what her demeanor has been like throughout this conversation. If she seems like excited to go or just like, ugh, these people, or, you know, like.
Roll that insight check.
Can we just pretend I decided not to do that?
Yeah. Why don't you roll that insight check with advantage?
Okay, well, that's good. I rolled a 2 both times, so my insight check is a 6.
You know, Broldish, sometimes it's hard to read people.
I'm distracted. I'm distracted by this very flashy new lady that is confusing me.
It's a crowded tower. You know, you're not used to so many overlapping voices.
It's true.
I guess I would say Pony keeps poking you, but Pony's downstairs.
Well, he still could telepathically.
Pony telepathically keeps telling you what he's won off of Aragorn, the latest hand of cribbage that he's playing. So I guess Esmeralda Davenir knows a lot about Ravenloft and Strahd von Zarovich, perhaps more than anyone else in Barovia, and I think she has imparted a decent amount of wisdom on you.
Would you like to come with us? I know you talked about like being all by yourself and all sneaky and all that kind of stuff, but you know, you sure seem to know a lot, and that could be helpful. And I mean, you could still hide.
You people are more impressive than I first thought, but I have gotten where I am on my own, and
I know how that goes. And trust me, I was alone for a really long time. And it's so much better to have great friends like these pals. And I put my arms around whoever's near me.
Aw.
It's Argyle. No,
it's probably just one never, person. Sir, never I am a dwarf.
Yeah, it's never Argyle. you know what? Roll a persuasion check.
Let's see if I can do better.
Wait,
than
can we help if I'm smiling really big? That actually might not work.
I know. I'm all about the sixes today because that time I rolled a four, but my persuasion check is only a +2, so I'm not very persuasive.
I am thinking perhaps I'll see you in the castle.
Okay.
Perhaps in a moment of need, that is where I, Esmeralda Davenir, will appear, and you can thank me now for rescuing you in the future.
Thank you.
Thank you now for rescuing us in the future.
You're too kind.
Every time she refers to herself in the third person, Brill just kind of goes,
I thought you were Esmeralda Davenir.
I think that's consistent with Barovian grammar. Rictavio has not talked
very
in a while.
Quiet,
and you can tell,
which is weird.
You can tell that it. You can tell it's like physically hurting him. Sorry, Aline, was Imra going to do something?
Just still whittling in the corner and I look at Esmeralda and I say, I know that a lot of parties have gone into the castle and none have survived. And I think that with your knowledge and previous experience in the castle, and our experience dealing with Strahd and his horrors, we stand the best chance of defeating him together. And I'd like to...
Rictavio busts in because he just can't hold himself anymore. It's like I said, they are the chosen people. They will bring light to a dark land. How can they not succeed? That is what I, Rictavio, say.
Yes.
Brildish applauds.
And so I'm going to ask you, Esmeralda, again, I'm going to add on to Brildish's request that you join us in our travels to and in Castle Ravenloft.
Roll that persuasion check, Imra.
Negative.
Should we all do like heroic poses?
I'm probably sort of just still clapping.
My tentacle arms, just as a reminder, that impressed Esmeralda.
I will point out that Esmeralda can probably see this really shiny +2 magic axe that I've got. She doesn't
know.
I'm just saying she has no idea that Broldish never uses it.
Are you saying you could sweeten the pot a little bit?
No, I'm just saying that like she probably thinks we're even cooler than we actually are because she thinks Brildish, she doesn't know that Brildish is quite so foolish.
These people are worth following because if Brildish dies, I can take her.
The best part
is a practical lady.
Brildish doesn't need to die for you to take that axe. That's the best part.
Imra, moment of truth. What'd you roll?
Yeah. So as I'm talking, of course, I am still whittling. And I am inexperienced, and so I finish off my entreaty by stabbing myself in the thumb and bleeding profusely because I rolled a zero. I got a zero. I got a zero to persuasion.
You should get that looked at.
I look at Crucible.
Any vampire Crucible within will, 5 miles can smile that smell that
Crucible will boop and patch Imra up.
Thanks.
Elevor walks up to Esmeralda. We have just been on a very long journey, on a very long adventure, and have spent a lot of time in constant battle. My friends and I are tired, and we have come here to recoup our energy, to replenish ourselves. So you'll have to pardon the occasional mistakes, the occasional errors, because, you know, everyone has their downs. But what I can promise you Is the moment we step into that castle, the moment we choose to fight this evil, this great evil that you too are choosing to fight against, will be a moment of honor, a moment of bravery, a moment that even you can respect for knowing that we are more than just the fools our friend Ricky here suggested we were. You know, we have the occasional laugh because it helps us find happiness and solace in this very dark, dark, dark place. But I've danced with a diva, and I can tell you that we, when we work together, are nearly unstoppable, and you joining us will only make that all the more possible. And if your goal is to defeat the devil, Strahd, then I ask you again, please join us. And now I will roll my +6 persuasion, and we hope we can get somewhere.
Have you danced with the diva in the pale moonlight?
How's a 25?
Nice!
Unfortunately, Micah, I need you to roll to a disadvantage. Because that was very compelling, you are going after
That's
two
fair.
Fair.
Can I help? Can I help Elevore with that?
To make it a neutral?
I think not at this point. Sorry.
Okay.
You know, it's hard. I think you're trying, but it's,
yeah,
you know,
no, that's fair.
What's the number?
The final number is 13.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to try and like give you a little bit hint behind the scene. I think it is, though, Esmeralda Davenir is not going to join the party. She will be a possibly more prominent / reoccurring presence in Castle Ravenloft than she was going to be originally based upon your entreaties.
But we were all ready to give her Aragorn's slot in the party.
So after all of this and watching her friends, because they are her friends, sort of begging her to join and have, and like even Aline with her usual quiet elf dignity, like jabbing herself in the finger and then making all of these speeches. She sort of like, she stands and she lights up her sword, which is very dangerous because it's a very small space.
It's a low ceiling.
Is it though? Because we're at the top of the tower. I feel
like there are some hanging
tapestries
and ribbons and stuff.
Yeah, you know, lot of load bearing.
She says, you have heard from my friends, and I will not ask you to join us. But if we go and fail, you should come and claim this sword.
Whoa!
Because
whoa.
It will have a play. It will play a part in taking down Strahd. But if we do not fail, you will find the sword in his heart. And then she like tries to storm off, but I think the elevator probably takes a really long time to get here.
Yeah, and it's like, and it's right in the middle of the tower. So it's like, there's nowhere that you can turn while you're in the elevator that's not down. Looking at somebody. Yeah. And yeah, it's real slow.
Just like, you know? Just like,
that's hilarious. And you know, Rictavio has been, I think, real uncomfortable with all this, and he's just he doesn't like to see his children fight. He is and he calls out to you, "No, Lena, please."
She's still like her head is now? Just like slowly.
Lena. I can't do his voice anymore. Lena, please stay. Let us talk and let us drink.
I can't stop the elevator. I'll be back up in a couple minutes.
An awkward couple minutes has passed as the elevator goes all the way down. You know, Pony and Aragorn nod at you, and then it goes
I warned Pony that she was on her way down.
I just imagine Broldish sitting there for like the 2 minutes with literal like hard eyes going... She said we're her friends.
Uh-huh. Basically.
And Rictavio is giving Esmeralda Davenir a hard time. It's like, I told you to be nice. We never have company, and this is why. So
Lena is beet red when she comes back up.
So Rictavio kind of assembles you. There is a very sparse meal that is mainly the bread that he cooked earlier that's now very cold. But he wants to, you know, get you all together, even though, you know, You know, Esmeralda Davenir will be an ally, if not a party member. And, you know, he says to you, friends, this may be the last time we are together, at least here in this tower. And let us not fill this place with despair, for you are on an important mission, a mission of great work. And I have nothing but confidence with you. If my name is not Victor Arvey, which technically it is not, but I know that when I say Rudolf von Richten, it does not fill you with the joy that Rictavio does. And
Rictavio!
So that is the word that we will say amongst you and I, amongst us friends. I am Rictavio as forever and always. But you, my friends, but these heroes, what you have done, no one before could have dreamed of. I have told Esmeralda of your liberation of the windmill and the battle at the winery and the siege of Yesterhill to take down an entire order of Strahd's druids. And now you tell us that you have confronted, you have liberated Berez and slain the devil's nursemaid, Baba Lazaga herself. Surely you are ready to take on the devil himself, and he will not know what has hit him. He thinks he toys with you, but friends, it is you who toy with him. This is what Rictavio thinks. So,
yay!
let us not have any ill feelings today. Today is perhaps the beginning of the end of Strahd's time here in Barovia, and we think only of the good times to come, of the freedom, of the sun that will shine again. And yes, there will be hardships and trials soon, but I, in my Rictavio heart, I know you will be successful. So here, please, here. No yeah, more
crucible
no more
raises,
arguments here.
Raises in, a glass of whatever chip teacup.
A teacup of wine.
Circus, chip teacup of wine. And yep, says, to the return of light to Barovia.
Here, here.
To light.
Samus goes, wow, wow.
Crucible does not drink the wine, though, because, you know, doesn't go well with ball bearings.
Yeah.
Lena, nope. Like, after and she drains hers, like, reaches over and swaps the empty one.
Crucible doesn't even notice.
Yeah.
It's worth noting that Samus was totally, like, nuzzled up against Rictavio the whole time we were here, because Samus still misses Rictavio.
That's sweet.
Aww.
You know, for a brief moment, there is some joy and good tidings and warmth and happiness
and fresh bread
here in Barovia. And fresh bread. Vasilika shows off that apparently in the time while she was waiting for you all, Rictavio has made Vasilika a series of little calligraphied cards with common expressions and yes, no, and whatnot on them, because Vasilika is otherwise mute, and that will be annoying. You have an NPC that can't talk to you. But yes, you know, things are good. And so you pass the night. You have the benefits of that full rest, and you feel ready to head off. I believe your next stop is Valaki, and then on to Castle Ravenloft itself, suggesting that the adventure could be near at hand. But if you are Tony Sindelar, who has been running this adventure and knows how big and how complicated Castle Ravenloft is, we could totally stretch this out another year, is what I'm saying, people. But that's just an aside. The players weren't listening to that part.
I'm sorry, did you say something?
So,
what was that?
Nope. Everything's good. Night comes, you all somehow find a place to collapse somewhere in this crowded little tower. Probably multiple people are using Samus.
I'll sleep downstairs with Pony.
That sounds right. There's some hay or barley you can curl up in. And then no one gets murdered by werewolves that night. Why did I mention that? I think I'm mentioning. And, the dawn comes and it is time to prepare to head out to places that you need to head out to. Is there anything else that people needed to do in this place of mild civility in terms of blacksmithing or woodworking or other craft montages that we need to accomplish before you head to your next destination?
Crucible learns how to make good bread from Rictavio.
I would like to ask Rictavio if I can keep the woodworking tools.
But of course, they are not mine. They were here when I
figured. And have you noticed any woodworking books that I could take with me too?
I do not think I have anything like that. I am sorry.
I'll figure it out. I look at my hand.
Talk to your travel slight. You know? Anything, any final words for Rictavio or questions for him before you head off to Valaki?
Perldus would just say thank you.
Yeah.
You are still traveling with Pony, with Aragal, and with your wagon
of
full
wine.
Of wine,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is your plan? Okay. So you are going ahead following the main road, that being the Old Svalage Road, which more or less cuts east to west across Barovia. That is Big Barovia. You know that it is probably several hours close to most of a day's travel from Rictavio's to Valaki, not an entire day. So, you know, if you head out now, you'll get there probably early to mid-afternoon. Any reason not to do that?
No.
Mm-mm.
All right.
Off we go.
We do have a bunch of cloaks with hoods. Remember, we got like a six pack or something like that at Hoods R Us. Yep. And we're definitely outfitting Vasilka with one of those babies.
Yes, I think a cloak probably does not go very far down on Vasilka. It, you know, it's like a mini cloak. Look, I don't think it probably goes past her waist, basically.
It's a capelet, as far as anybody needs to know.
That, I was like, I don't know enough about fashion to know what the word is.
I think the hood is the real important hood. Element.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, she's still, like, a very tall, like, prominent, you know, silhouette, even if you have disguised her, you know, perhaps not quite full of life visage.
Do we want to bring her and... Aragal into town with us, or do we want them to like wait outside of town while we do the sneaky
hey guys, it's me, Aragal. How come you don't talk to me more? You know, happy to be along for the ride. I'm not so sure about like going into Valaki. I don't know, there's some people there that might recognize me. I don't know. But maybe I shouldn't go home either. Maybe I should. Maybe this is a good time
you
to talk
should
to
definitely not go,
you should
home.
Not go home. No.
They will be mad. We are very much not dead.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking woods outside Valaki.
Aren't the woods full of wolves and werewolves?
Yes, but
maybe not
have
during
you been
daytime.
To Valaki?
We're not going to spend too much time there. I believe we're just going to. Drop off some wine and steal a wedding dress. So
yeah, but we might want to spend the night. Although I don't like the idea of leaving Aragal and Vasilka in the woods overnight.
Yeah, I don't
by
either.
Themselves either.
Yep, I don't want to do that.
No.
We may have
maybe,
to camp
maybe
in
we
the
could
woods overnight.
Could we bring them as far as the inn? Like, I can't remember exactly where the inn is in town. If we
it's
could
like
just,
in
like,
the middle, isn't it?
Is it?
And remember, Valaki is a walled city.
That's right.
So that's true. Yeah, you're either in this. Yeah, there's nothing really outside.
So, we just make it there. We head in, roll the barrel of wine. Everyone's so happy to see it. Either steal the wedding dress, or I mean, we actually do have Strahd's bride here, so we could say she's here for a fitting. Wonderful.
We just happen to be stealing the wedding dress from the Burgermeister while no one's looking.
Yes.
Details.
Whatever you guys think is best. I have tons of dialogue.
How big is the how big is the wagon? Like now that we've offloaded one of the
I would say that there's you know, wine? you offloaded one third of your wine shipment, so I would say it's pretty substantial.
Weren't right? Was some of the buildings outside of the wall here abandoned? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, there are some structures on the western side of Valaki that, you know, probably from the time before the wall was constructed. So, yeah, there are places that he could hang.
Yeah, I think
I know a nice windmill we could park them.
I feel like we are in good with the folks at the Blue Water Inn because the Mardukov family quite likes us. So if we could hide them in the wagon, we could just take them to the inn and probably... Or when Mardukov would just let them hang out in a room very quietly while we do whatever else we need to do.
Or they could.
I'm great at quiet.
That's true. So we can put, you know, bring them in, have them hang out in the room, do what we need to do. The people of Valaki love wine. I'm from there. That's all they're gonna see.
They've been out for a while.
Everybody's going to be cranky and sober, and there may not be anyone left. They may have all killed each other.
And in fact, as you are discussing that, you crest the hill at Valaki.
Is in cinders.
You joke, Jane, and yet it's like you're reading my notes. Because as you approach a Valaki, it is not as you remember. It is not in cinders, but there are several columns of smoke rising from across the city. Doesn't look like perhaps Valaki is currently on fire, but clearly it is smoldering in some places of recent sizable fires. Perhaps entire structures consumed by them. As you kind of hurry down the road in the direction of Valaki, even though it is midday, the gates are closed and no one stands on the ramparts to greet you. There is no sign or symbols or strange wolf's head on spikes suggesting any kind of recent festival. Because it seems like though you have reached Valaki, all is not well, and it is not as you left it. What horrible fate has fallen upon Valaki? What will our adventurers have to do to discover it? Will they be able to save the town of Valaki, the souls of the people of Valaki themselves? And what are they going to do with Aragal, their assassin who doesn't want to go in, and Vasilika, the giant flesh golem who needs a dress? For answers to questions such as these, tune in next time on Total Party Kill.